the bustle of a border town. This is Ba Vet. It lies on the Cambodian side of a major checkpoint with Vietnam. Amid the chaos and the traffic, there's one thing that stands out. Advertising for online gambling is everywhere, despite it being illegal in Cambodia. The signs point to something larger and hidden in the casinos, apartment complexes, and business parks. The human trafficking, the violence and torture, the illegal gambling, and the sophisticated scamming operations targeting people all around the world. And it's not just here, but all over the country. Vast networks of scamming crimes working both in the shadows and out in the open.
Behind the bright lights of Cambodia's cities and border towns is an industry built on deception and fear. This country has become ground zero for global scamming, where victims are trafficked into compounds and forced to target others online. Authorities here say they're cracking down, but these networks have deep roots. I'm here to try and find out if that crackdown is real, peer inside the criminal economy, and meet the people still trying to escape it.
First, the crackdown. The strong message out of Cambodia right now is that it's had enough. A criminal industry that's been generating billions of dollars inside the country has become the target of raids, sanctions, and new laws. Amid rising pressure domestically and from countries like China and the US. The government brought us to the A7 country and resort to prove it. It's a facility alleged to have been running scams before police raided it earlier this year. With dozens of armed personnel on hand, we're offered a tour of the site and what's left over from the activities here. In buildings like this, workers run online fraud, often romance or investment scams, fake crypto schemes, or online gambling-related deception.
Inside this scamming compound, an array of evidence of the criminality that was occurring here up to a short time ago. What's most interesting, perhaps, among the evidence is this array of ID cards that have been left here, mostly Chinese individuals with all of their personal details, as well as countless credit cards, housing registries, boarding passes, not to mention food and medicine, all of which has been abandoned as police raided this complex.
Some workers are willing participants. Many others are trafficked through fake job offers, have their passports taken, are confined, beaten, or forced to meet revenue targets. The entire complex has been completely trashed. More than 2,200 people inside, mostly from China, were released. For now, authorities say they don't know who owns the land or who was responsible for running scams out of this complex. Investigations are still ongoing. At another estate, also in Ba Vet, 198 townhouses found to be housing scam activities. Soundproof rooms, where police impersonators would target victims overseas, and some of the scripts they'd used to manipulate their marks. Bedrooms packed with mattresses, and the filthy conditions those entrapped endured. This is just the start of the response, the provincial governor told us. So how did Cambodia become a hub of scam activities? Experts say the country had all the right ingredients. Casino zones, weak oversight, border economies, and old smuggling routes, among others.
The scammers will look at the weakest links, look at countries with most vulnerable countries that they can influence, they can buy their way. And it happened to be Myanmar. It happens to be Laos. It happens to be Cambodia.
During COVID especially, online gambling and digital fraud flourished as casino tourism took a hit. The industry then grew into one of the country's most powerful illicit economies.
So it's really been in the past decade that China-linked transnational criminal organizations have emerged as the most powerful crime groups in Southeast Asia. And it's only in the last 5 years that Chinese transnational organized criminal groups have transformed mainland Southeast Asia into the global apex for online scams. Southeast Asia is now really the only space in the world where you have massive industrial scale compounds in the hundreds, and in some cases, massive scam cities that feature populations in excess of 30, 40, 50,000 people that are engaged in online scams. It's also currently the only place where you can see mass numbers of individuals being trafficked into circumstances of forced criminality and modern slavery and types inside of these compounds.
One of those was Muhammad Fadli. He was among dozens of Indonesians camped outside his country's embassy in the capital, hoping to secure a flight home. He told us that he and others were routinely beaten while locked in a scam operation in Bavet.
Karena kita nggak mencapai omset, nggak dapat target, jadi dia kesel. Tuh kena siksa kita, kena strum. Tekanannya pun tiap hari, mana member, mana omset, nggak ada masuk uang ini, katanya. Kayak mana mau menggaji kalian kalau kalian santai-santai, nggak dapat member, nggak dapat target.
This is one of the busiest areas in Phnom Penh in the evening. It's a place where regular people come to jog and to exercise, and as they pass by, they pass others who are in despair. Indonesians here tonight, dozens of them, most of them victims of scamming networks, left destitute, left homeless, some of them who have been tortured, all of them hoping to get home.
It's estimated that about 300,000 foreigners have fled Cambodia since the crackdowns and raids began over the past few months. It's a shocking number. Many more are still stuck in limbo, unable to afford flights, and lacking documentation after being trafficked into the country.
Some were fleeing into the jungle, some were hiding in different towns. A lot of ended up sleeping on the streets of Phnom Penh. You have several thousand people from just across the African continent. You have people from Indonesia, from the Philippines, from Vietnam, from China. Everywhere in the world is now involved in scams. So they're all coming to Cambodia, and there's an enormous amount of human trafficking. These people are receiving no support whatsoever. They're just sleeping on the street, desperate for food, shelter, and a way home.
Abdul, a Ugandan school teacher, is also stranded. He told us his harrowing story from a safe house. He was smuggled from Bangkok to Laos and eventually into Cambodia, forced into a scamming operation. He was originally told he'd be doing data entry, but then...
They told me, you're here to scam. We are scammers, this is a scamming company, but we shall take you through the probation to make you know how to scam, how we do our things, how everything, your salary, your everything.
After about 1 month locked inside, police shut down the operation and he fled back to the city.
So ever since then, every single day is a nightmare. You're sleeping outside, you're non-safe. You are in the country illegally, you have no visa, you have no food, you have nowhere to run to. This experience has been the worst in my entire life because me coming to Southeast Asia, I promised my family, I promised my people, let me go, try to make things change, let me try to go find a good life. But what I found out, really, it is far away from my expectations. I feel disappointed in myself. I feel let my people down. I'm now done. I have nothing on me. Everything is now a mess.
We wanted to understand the scale of the infrastructure built specifically for the scam industry. And everywhere along Cambodia's eastern flank, you can find it. While much attention has focused on better-known hotspots like Sihanoukville in the south and Phoi Phet on the western border with Thailand, here a parallel ecosystem has quietly emerged. All along the Vietnamese border are vast complexes purpose-built for scamming. This is Park Number 8, one of the largest and most notorious scamming compounds in all of Cambodia, just a short distance away from the Vietnamese border. Reports that some 20,000 people could be housed here for scamming. Right now, it's totally empty. It's been abandoned. There's no security. Everything is locked up. Everything's been pulled out of here, including the computers that were being used for the scamming operations. And what once was a criminal enterprise city is now a ghost city. Large compounds and clustered operations within reach of the Vietnam border appear to be using an old playbook, taking advantage of long-established smuggling routes and cross-border broker networks to move people, equipment, and money. And these crossing points have increased as the scamming industry has grown.
What you see are these enormous towns that only exist to host these compounds. There's no other industry there. Nothing makes sense in terms of why you would build a new business district in these areas, right? So it's pretty obvious that these entire areas have been urban planned along that border, and that they pretty much pepper the entire line between Cambodia and Vietnam.
Further south, Sre Tum used to be a sleepy riverside town. Over the past year, it's been promoted by the government as a dynamic new economic hub. Today, it's dominated by casinos and other huge complexes, many of them now shut down because they hosted scam operations. Despite that, we saw construction continuing on new buildings and roads at a facility locally known as Prince 3. It's allegedly part of the same group, subject to sweeping international sanctions, and accused of operating cyber scam centers, forced labor compounds, and cryptocurrency investment fraud schemes. Security remains in place all around here, and there are watchful eyes on the road.
The more remote the place where you set up a kind of compound zone, the harder it is for people to escape, the harder it is to monitor. And often these are areas that had already been heavily logged and areas of protected forest that had been decimated. So the value of the wood had already been stripped out. So now the people who'd taken over that land were looking for new ways to exploit the value of the area as well. Mondokiri has been a very tragically a case of that. And the people who were trapped up there in the mountains talk about the absolute terror they had because they were told they'd be eaten by wild animals if they escape.
In Phnom Penh, the scamming model is changing. With pressure rising, criminals are shifting their activities to harder-to-find locations, hidden within plain sight. Many large complexes have been emptied, at least for now, but there are signs the syndicates are breaking up into smaller operations, concealed in apartment buildings and shop houses, especially in Phnom Penh.
And if you go from a border town where we know that everything in it is essentially related to scams and human trafficking, that's one thing that we can try to target and we can try to get sanctions on, we can try to get it shut down. But if every condominium building, every restaurant and every shopfront in Phnom Penh has a risk of three or four apartments inside there being run by smaller outfits, then we don't know where it is, we don't know the scale of it, we don't know the suffering that's happening inside it.
Walking along Phnom Penh's famous riverside, it's clear that a demographic shift has taken place. A new migrant workforce is visible, an influx of South Asians drawn into or stranded by the scam economy. One man from Bangladesh tells us that everyone is here for that. They're living in the heart of the city, tasked with targeting English speakers or people from their own countries. It's a sign of the industry adapting and shifting.
They might be diversifying, they might be laying low, they might be going smaller scale, they might decentralize. Even if the intention to crack down is real, it's going to be much more complex. It's still the 80-20 issue, right? 20% of the efforts can solve 80% of the scam. But to eliminate the last 20%, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult. Require a lot more effort.
We met the man in charge of Cambodia's crime cleanup, who wanted to show us more seized assets from raided compounds around the country, and deliver a message that this crackdown is serious, backed by a muscular new anti-scam law.
Cambodia ទឹកដីកម្ពុជាខ្លាយទៅជាជំរកសวัสดิភាពសម្រាប់ពួក scam នេះទេហើយបែរជាលោកបានជឿវាថាច្បាប់ប្រចាំង scam នេះគឺតឹងរឹងបំផុតឬមិនសំដៅតែអ្នកប្រព្រឹត្តទេគឺគ្រាន់តែមានចេតនាអស់មនុស្សយកមកប្រើមកធ្វើបដិបណ្ដាលជំនាញឬក៏គ្រប់គ្រងឲ្យទីតាំងឬការពារពីក្រោយសិតទៅទទួលទោសនោះ
Authorities were keen to show us how focused they are on the job and give us the rare chance to ride along as police hunted for scammers in a residential complex in the capital. They go door to door searching for illegal activity and foreigners without visas after a tip-off from local residents the criminals were operating here. They probe houses accompanied by senior city government officials and high-ranking members of the judiciary.
So various members of the police force and the cybercrime unit have been investigating this, what seems like a residential district this morning. A lot of personnel out on the streets going to certain houses that have been deemed suspicious. They've had to break into a few of them to check what's inside. Nothing to do with online scamming today, only a few potentially fake cigarettes and a few visa checks on some foreign residents.
No one we spoke to doubts that this suppression of crime is real and expansive. But experts are questioning whether the response is thorough enough to make a lasting impact. They say the crackdowns do not address the root of the problem, namely the deeply embedded criminality in Cambodia and the wider region, and that a tougher response by the Cambodian government could implicate the more powerful people in the country.
Up to this point, with very, very few exceptions, none of the people with significant connections to the ruling party have actually faced justice in Cambodia. The second thing is you would see an immediate cessation of repressive efforts against local civil society who's reporting on this, and you'd see an immediate end to the extortion and threats to victims.
The allegations of elite protection is one of the most sensitive parts of this story. Cambodian officials and some local analysts reject it, saying foreign criticism is politically motivated.
I think that is just a kind of a political propaganda from other countries to accuse Cambodia, because some countries they accuse and they want to strongly and speak in negatively on the reputation of Cambodia. And if any local authorities involved in the scam problems, they will be responsible for their activities. I have to say that Cambodia, we are victim of the scam.
Chẳng hay ca đại vị thiên là ca bao dương dương. មិនគិតតែប្រក្រាបពួកអក្រិតជនទេតែយើងត្រូវធ្វើកិច្ចការអភិបាលកិច្ចទៅលើមន្ត្រីអនុវត្តច្បាប់ធ្វើយ៉ាងម៉េចឲ្យមានការទទួលខុសត្រូវនិងភាពស្មោះត្រង់សម្រាប់វិជ្ជាជីវៈផងគោរពច្បាប់ផងគោរពនឹងអ្វីដែលជាផលប្រយោជន៍របស់មនុស្សជាតិហើយនឹងអាចបន្តការស៊ើបអង្កេតមានហោហាយទៅមុខទៀតច្រើន
Even as compounds empty, the recruitment continues. Postings for new scam jobs roll in on social media group chats. Looking for Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, Hebrew speakers, AI models, work from home bloggers, customer service, with details of salaries, conditions, and working hours in all sorts of locations. Many are targeting those stuck in Cambodia.Others promise to move people to Myanmar or as far afield as emerging African hotspots like Madagascar and Uganda. It's more evidence that this industry isn't going away, and it's a problem for the whole world to contend with.
This is really, I would say, a catastrophe. It's a global catastrophe because effectively those scammers are now moving somewhere else.They're moving into other ASEAN countries, they're moving into South Asia, you're seeing where new arrivals into Sri Lanka are off the charts, they're moving into Madagascar, there's 14 countries across Africa that are at risk of emerging as major scam hubs, they're going all over the world. But they're not done with Cambodia. They're just simply finding new models and approaches.
Isn't just an issue that has happened to and in Cambodia. It is an issue that we need to see as a global crisis, and we need to see the criminality that extends out of this. The building of these scam cities didn't just happen with the Cambodian elite approving it. It happened with a range of billionaire Chinese, some Russian and foreign investment around the world, and they could continue to use Cambodia as a base of operations for illicit finance, which they have become experts in.
Cambodia has shown it can empty compounds when it chooses to. The harder question is whether the groups, money, and protection behind them are being dismantled as well, or simply finding new ways to keep on scamming.